Luke chapter 10 this morning, and then we'll be in John, two passages of Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 17 through 21 in Luke chapter 10. If you found that, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. I'll read the odd verses, if you'll read with me, on verses 18 and 20, and then we'll turn over to another passage of Scripture this morning. So we'll start in Luke chapter 10, reading verse number 17. It says there, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Then turn, if you will, over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll be reading two verses there, verses 41 and 42. If you'll read with me on verse 42, I'll read verse 41. Again, John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. And it says there, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stayed, I said that it may believe that they have sent me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, the reading of your word this morning. Pray, bless now the song. Lord, I pray you just prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, be with the message and all that's said. Lord, I pray our hearts will be open to the word. Lord, I pray you just pour on preacher the fresh oil this morning. Lord, I pray you just give him just clarity of thought. Lord, I pray you bless and all that's done. In your name we pray. Amen.
To Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last.
Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why.
Death watch was over, buried for days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way.
Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive.
But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. And isn't it great when he's 4 days late? He's still on time. Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave.
But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days.
The gravestone was rolled back. Then Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth.
Then somebody said,
he's alive.
He's alive. You may be fighting a battle. castle of fear. You've cried to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared.
Don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. He'll soon be here, he'll roll back the stone, and he'll call out your name.
Folks, I enjoyed that this morning. I want to speak using from the two texts that we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago. We will start in Luke 10. So we will start in Luke 10 and we'll end up in John 11, what they just sang about, although it won't be about the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, but we will be in that chapter when we end the message in a little while, okay? And so we're starting in Luke chapter 10 this morning. And I want to speak on this subject, Father, I thank Thee. Father, I thank Thee. Let's pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank You for creating music, for making it so that it encourages our hearts and blesses us. Thank You for the good song we just heard, those that we sang with each other this morning, the good song from the choir. It's been blessed to hear the good music and be a part of it today. But music was never made to preempt or take the place of preaching, and so I pray that You will now help us as we look into Your Word. Thank You that we have a written book this morning we can all look at and see with our eyes what's written on its pages. Now, would You open our eyes to the truth therein, and I'll thank You. Help me, O God, and I'll praise You for it. I sure need it and have asked for it many times this week, many times today already, and once again, please help me. In Jesus' name, and amen. Cicero, a man who lived in the century preceding the birth of Jesus Christ, said this, "A thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues." That's quite a statement and quite true. But it was Bob Jones Sr., who lived a little over 1,900 years after Cicero lived, who said this, "When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless." Other things may die in our hearts, but when gratitude or thankfulness dies, then we are hopeless. Now, although neither one of these men wrote or spoke inspired scripture, they were both very accurate about the virtue of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has been on my mind recently. Thanksgiving has been on my mind for a while now. I was thankful to have the opportunity to go for a couple of weeks a vacation with our children and grandchildren. I was thankful to be able to come back and be in this assembly of believers, this church that meets on this street corner. I was thankful this past week for our country. I hope you took a few minutes on Wednesday to be thankful for the United States of America. I was sitting thinking about our country on the 4th of July, thanking God for the freedoms that we still enjoy, and on the thoughts of thankfulness in that whole realm of being thankful. And so that led me to the Gospels, where I went in search of what Jesus Christ was thankful for. I remembered reading a couple of places in the Gospels where Jesus said, "Father, I thank You. Father, I thank Thee." And so I got my Bible out, my concordance, and I went in search of those texts. And I found that there were two instances in the public ministry of Jesus where He stated very plainly that for which He was thankful. Now, let me say this by way of introduction this morning. Neither one of these things, if you will, that Jesus was thankful for had anything to do with material goods. Neither one of these had anything to do with political causes. They didn't have anything to do with physical strength or health, family or friends, monetary gain. He wasn't thankful, at least verbally, for any of those things. No, both of the things that Jesus was thankful for had to do specifically with His relationship with His Father. His relationship with God. Now, if we began to list the things that we are thankful for because of our relationship with God, I'm sure the list would include sins forgiven. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. Sins forgiven. I hope that you know your sins have been forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be thankful for a home in heaven. That's something to be thankful for. We'd be thankful for the fact that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those are incredible blessings to be thankful for. And then we'd probably include food and water and health and job and freedom and home and family and church and so forth. Again, all of those are huge blessings. But my thought this morning is to be careful to include in the things we're thankful for the two matters that Jesus spoke about being thankful for. In Luke chapter 10, we find the first place where Jesus said He was thankful for something. In Luke chapter 10, the 70 that had been sent out by Jesus on an evangelistic tour came back, and they were rejoicing because of the things that had happened on their journey during their ministry. We pick it up in verse number 17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." They were happy that they had power over Satan on their preaching tour, their preaching ministry. They had power over Satan. And Jesus responded in verse number 18 by saying, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, wait a minute. Jesus was not throwing cold water on their excitement. He was not saying, "Oh, that's nothing. You know, I was there when Satan fell from heaven." Don't you get discouraged when you're talking to somebody and you're excited about what, you know, you're telling them, and then they always have something that's better than what you had, you know. And then you get in one of those, you know, discussions where, you know, well, I'll tell you. Well, let me tell you. You know, and then before you know it, you just finally give up and say, "You know what, forget it." But anyway, Jesus is not throwing cold water on what they were saying. He's not saying, "Well, I got one better than you." That's not what He's saying. He is confirming their testimony. They came back happy and saying, "Lord, it was great. The devils were subject unto us through Thy name." And Jesus said, "Yes, it is a wonderful thing when the devil loses ground." And it is, friend. It's a wonderful thing when the devil loses ground. When does the devil lose ground? When the devil loses ground, every time a sinner is converted to Jesus Christ, he loses ground. All right? And Jesus is saying, "Yes, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, I was there when Satan lost his original ground. I was there when I saw Satan like lightning fall from his place." So Jesus was confirming their testimony. He goes on in verse number 19 to says, "Look, I'm going to give you even more power. You're going to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Is he going to tread on snakes and walk on snakes and scorpions and they bite you and you won't be hurt? I said, "Pastor, when are we going to see you do that?" Friend, you can tell you've been coming to church a long time. You know, recently one of those snake handlers got bit and died. Because I guess he had a lack of faith at the last instance there. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, I was at a church one time where I was sure they had rattlesnakes in the box. Tony Keelan and I. After I got saved, he was my soul winning partner. He taught me how to win souls. And one night we were having one of these nights out visiting where nothing's happening. You know, nobody's home. Nobody wants to talk to you. It's 107 degrees. You know, sweat's pouring. He said, "We passed this little old church up in the mountains of Tennessee, some holiness church." And he said, "Man, they were having revival services. Let's stop in." So we walked in. Service is already in progress. And, you know, they're up there singing and having a time. And we sat out in the back. And they're singing and they're singing. We're sitting there. We're enjoying it. All of a sudden, man, I don't know, they got a spark from another world. I mean, they got something. They got zapped. They stood up straight. And their eyeballs got huge. And they were, just like a stick. And, I mean, the music picked up intensity. And there was a box up there. I hadn't noticed it until I saw one of these guys headed for this box. And I am convinced that there were snakes in that box. When that guy headed for that box, Tony Keel and I headed for the back door. We left out of that place, buddy, as quick as the lightning. Getting out of there quick. These were apostolic sign gifts that were given to the apostles to confirm the Word of God. Now, that's over because we have the Word of God now. Now, I will say this. I do believe there have been instances since the Bible was closed where God gave special power to people who were taking the message. Watch it, taking the message of Christ where the Word of God had never gone. Check Daryl Champlin's testimony. Now, I don't have time to go into all that this morning, but he walked on glass hot coals because the witch doctors did. And he wanted to prove that his God was stronger than any witch doctor. But you're talking about a remote place where the written Word of God had never gone. And he brought the message of God verbally, and God gave these sign gifts to confirm the Word of God. You and I have the written Word of God now, so we're not going to... You walk on a snake, you're probably going to get bit. You walk on glass, you're probably going to get cut. All right? You walk on hot rocks, and you'll be saying, hi, hi, hi. All right. That's what you'll be doing. But here he said, this is what's going to happen. Now, for a time, you're going to have this power. And then he tells him, verse number 20, he said, but now, wait a minute. That's wonderful to have all this opportunity to witness and testify and preach. But man, the truth of the matter is, you know, that's going to come to a close. Don't put all the eggs in your basket, in that one basket. Man, rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. Amen. You know why? Because that'll never change. That'll never change. And then he said this. He said, in that hour, verse 21, in that hour, the Bible says, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus publicly stated something for that, for which he was thankful. And I want to say that number one this morning, that Jesus was thankful. As I read this verse and break it down, I believe that Jesus was thankful for revealed truth. Revealed truth, because look at what he said. He said in verse 21, and hast revealed them unto babes. That word revealed. Jesus was thankful for revealed truth. Now, he was also thankful that revealed truth could be known and believed and accepted by the common people, by babes. You see that? Now, you know what that's a reference to? That word babes is a reference to his disciples. You say, well, that's an insult for Jesus to call his disciples babes. No, what he was saying here was this. There was nobody of nobility among the followers of Christ, if you will. There were no super educated, highly trained and seminary type men who were following Jesus Christ. They were simple, common men. Several of them were fishermen. One of them was a tax collector, just simple men. There were no studied or learned men, common, simple, working men to whom God had revealed truth. And Jesus rejoiced. He said, Father, this blesses my heart. It excites me. I am thankful for revealed truth. And brother, I want to say to you and me this morning that we need to be thankful for revealed truth. You know what, folks? Given all the confusion that is in the world today, can you imagine how confused and chaotic all of life would be without revealed truth? You know, I'm talking about being grateful that God would reveal truth to us. So that we might know truth. It's the truth that sets a man free. Isn't it truth that you want from a politician and never get? Aren't you interested if you go to a court of law, either sitting in the jury box or on the witness stand? Isn't what you're concerned about the truth? That's what we want. We want the truth. And God has been so good to us to reveal truth to us. The reason we are in so much chaos and confusion today is not because of the absence of revealed truth, but because of the rejection of revealed truth. We have either rejected truth by neglect or by pride. Truth is available to the heart that desires it. And I'm so thankful this morning, as Jesus was, for revealed truth. Now, God revealed truth through His Son, Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. Jesus only walked on this earth for 33 and a half years. Now, He revealed truth through Jesus. But He also revealed truth to us through His Word. John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And I am grateful for this morning for the revelation of truth that God has given to us. Folks, look, aren't you glad that you can stand this morning? If somebody says, hey, where did you come from? Aren't you glad you can stand and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? Let me ask you what, where would we be if we didn't know that? I know where we'd be. You know how I know where we'd be? Because people who could know that God created the heaven and the earth have chosen to reject revealed truth and instead try to stand up in classrooms and lecture halls and try to make some common sense out of this idiotic billions and billions of years ago. Have you ever been to a museum and heard somebody with that kind of talk? I think to myself, poor soul. Number one, either they're just being paid to say it and they don't believe it, or they just don't know truth. And it's not because truth's not available, it's because they've rejected it. They've said no. Billions and billions of years ago, there was this gaseous explosion out in the universe. And from that Big Bang came all the form of the earth. And then over a period of these billions and billions of years, things have evolved. All that nonsense, blah, 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 would instead... a person could just say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm so thankful that I can stand and say that this morning. But look here, it's not because of me, it's because of revealed truth. Revealed truth. You know, aren't you thankful that you know what's going to happen ahead? Aren't you thankful that you know there's life after death? Aren't you thankful that you know that? Aren't you thankful that you know it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment? Aren't you thinking? So where would we be, Brother Angel, if we didn't know, if we didn't believe what the Bible taught us about eternity and death and that death is coming and we're going to go from this life into the next? Where would we be? We'd be like that man that I visited in Iowa City, Brother Brian, some years ago, a man from India, studying at an American university. And I sat down with him in the little apartment there. He was so kind. I never forget that. He was so genuinely kind. He wasn't ugly. He was of a different belief altogether than me. He sat me down. He got some tea. He got a couple of little biscuits or pastries out of the kitchen. And he served me the tea there in the living room. I think me and Pete Schaefer were together there. And we had some of you guys know Pete from football camp. And we were talking to him. And we drank the tea. And finally, I got around to talking to this man about his eternal destiny. Now, here's a man in the university. Came all the way from India to the Iowa City to study at the University of Iowa. And boy, the Indian people over there in India, that is the most exalted thing in the world that could happen to one of their own, that they come to the United States to study. I said, now, what about your eternal destiny? He said, it all depends on how I live in this life. And if I live good in this life, when this life is over, then I will come back in a higher life form. But if I live bad in this life, then I'll come back to a lower life form. And at the end of that life, depending on how I've lived, if I'm a good bug, I'll come back in a higher life form. If I'm a bad bug, I'll come back in a lower life form. And at the end of every life cycle, I'll come back as something else. And depending on how I live, good or bad, I'll be an elevated life form or a lower life form. I mean, here's an educated man. Educated. In the ways of this world. To spanning how many miles across two continents from India over to the United States of America, sitting in his living room of a little apartment, telling me that, you know, depending on how he lives this life, he could come back as an angel or he could come back as a bug. This morning, I don't know what we had over the weekend, an infestation of, they sprayed for bugs, I guess, and boy, that infestation of those roly-polies. And I walked along the hallways and I said, good grief, this has got to be swept up before church. So I asked Cherith, I said, hey, would you get a broom? Sweep up all Uncle Frank's and Uncle Fred's and Aunt Jenny's and all. Oh, you don't know who you're sweeping away. Somebody who had a terrible life. Amen. And folks, here's this man. Convinced. And you know what? You and I make a little bit of fun of it and be a little bit facetious about it. But what if you and I were trapped into that? What if we were trapped in that? And then I said, well, look, I said, do you ever come to the end of these cycles? And he said, oh, yes. He said, we call it the midnight hour. The cycles of life will end and then we'll face the judgment and I have no idea what will happen. Here's a man, probably in his mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, lived for all of these years in such confusion and such chaos mentally about the future. And you and I can stand this morning and say, listen, we know for a fact we have this life. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after death, it's either eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell. We know the truth. Thank God He's revealed truth to us this morning. And we can stand and believe in revealed truth. Aren't you thankful that because of revealed truth, you can know that you have eternal life? Because the Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved. Aren't you glad you know truth? You know where we'd be this morning if we didn't have truth? We'd be throwing our babies to the crocodiles. Trying to appease this God, this Creator. You know where we'd be this morning if we didn't have the truth? We'd be skinnying up a tree, possibly looking out in the universe saying, who are you? Where are you? What is your name? What am I doing here? Aren't you so thankful you can wake up tomorrow morning and know that when this life ends, you're going to heaven to live with God forever? That's all because of revealed truth. You realize how blessed you are this morning? Think that we take for granted? People and nations all around this world have never had the opportunity to experience possibly. Yeah, I'm talking about being thankful for revealed truth. Aren't you thankful that you aren't just passing time, eating, drinking, and being merry, for tomorrow we die. But instead, you know you were created for a purpose. And by obedience to God, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm thankful for revealed truth. I'm glad I've learned revealed truth that teaches me there is no joy in me living my life for myself. No, there's no joy in that. But there is joy in living for others. What if we didn't know that truth? We would have no joy. It's all because God has graciously revealed truth to us through His Word. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. And we know how to make the most of life now because of revealed truth. Praise God for that, friend. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. Yeah. How we were brought up. What we were taught from birth. Most of these things from birth. Toddler Sunday school. And yet a lot of the world lives in darkness. Boys, Isaiah 59 is so graphic about that. It's graphic about the people who live in places where truth is fallen in the street. Listen to what he says. We grope for the wall like the blind. You ever been in a dark place where you could not see? I mean dark, dark. And you knew there was furniture around? You understand, friend, that's how much of the population of this world lives. And not because they're trying to get to the kitchen sink for a glass of water. Their eternal destiny, their very purpose for their being here. Where they're going to go after this life. They're in the dark about it all. They grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. You and I would be in that condition if it were not for revealed truth. But because of revealed truth, our eyes have been opened, amen, to the truth of God's Word. Are you thankful this morning for revealed truth? That's something we take for granted, isn't it? We haven't thought about it. It's how we were brought up. Most of the world lives in darkness this morning. The eyes closed, blinded to revealed truth. But that's not all. Let's look at John chapter 11. Revealed truth. I'm thankful for revealed truth today. Let's go over to John chapter 11. And then look here with it at the last one. I have just a few minutes left to get this last one to you. John chapter 11, verse 41 through 42. Here's the second place in the Gospels where Jesus verbally, publicly thanked His Father. This is where they took away the stone from the place where Lazarus was dead. Where he was laid. Look verse 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know what else Jesus is thankful for? He's not only thankful for revealed truth, he's thankful for received prayer. Received prayer. Father, I'm glad that you hear me. And you always hear me. Brother, he was thankful for a father who received his prayer. And how thankful we ought to be for a God who receives prayer. Amen. I've been reading recently in my Bible reading. When I was in South Carolina in this past week, I've been reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I've been reading over and over again where God talked about his people's relationship with idols. He said, I've seen this. He said, I know what you do. You go out to the woods, you cut down a tree, you take the trunk of that tree, you take the staff of that tree, and you bring it in, and you carve it, and you set it up, and you put silver and gold on it, and then you burn incense to it, and you make prayer to it, and you make a meal for it, a God who cannot see, a God who cannot hear, a God who cannot talk, a God who does not care. God said, I've seen that. He said, I'll tell you what you do. When you get in trouble, you go pray to him. When you get in a mess, you go talk to him. And God was judging his people because of their idolatry and worshiping a stick, the trunk of a tree, instead of the true and living God. And God said, when you need help, I tell you what you do. You go pray to them. Friend, there was no merit in praying to those dead idols. But oh, thank God, is there ever reason to be grateful for the opportunity to pray to a living, hearing, seeing, caring God who is our Heavenly Father. Yeah, there's nothing too small or too big to talk to your father about. You know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for the opportunity to pray over a sick child. Aren't you? I'm not against doctors. No, I'm not against medicine. In fact, all my kids had vaccinations. They're all vaccinated. I'm not against medicine. I will tell you something, friend. I don't think I've ever had as much confidence in a doctor visit as I have kneeling over the body of a sick child and saying, oh, dear God, please touch this little guy. Please touch this little boy, this little girl. Aren't you glad you can pray over the body of a sick child? Aren't you glad that you can pray about a concern for a well child? And that's heavier than when they're sick. When they're not doing well spiritually, and when they're embracing a rebellious spirit, and when they're kind of deviating and wandering from the path and showing a coldness toward God and even a coldness toward you, aren't you glad you can kneel or stop and pray over with concern over a child who's not doing well spiritually? Spiritually. Aren't you glad you can pray for wisdom concerning a decision? I was in South Carolina. One of the brothers texted me and said, look, I know you're on vacation. And in fact, it happened a couple times. He said, I know you're on vacation and I got a big decision to make. I got to make it before you get back. Is there a time that we could talk? And I was available. I could be accessible in the morning. I got up early. So the rest of these guys didn't get up that early. That's all right. Luke did a little bit. So I was accessible, and we talked on the phone. And back and forth and thoughts, and what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that. You know the best part of that conversation? Was the close of it. When I said, let's pray. And instead of talking to each other with limited knowledge and a finite mind to be able to see the future, we could talk to an infinite God who sees beginning from end, end from beginning, and pray and say, God, please lead, guide, and direct this brother as he makes this decision. Aren't you thankful for received prayer? I'm thankful I can pray for encouragement when I'm discouraged. Oh, I like music. That helps. And I like being around Christian friends. That helps. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, friend, the greatest encouragement when you're discouraged is just getting by yourself and lifting up your eyes and saying, dear God, Oh, what that can do for your heart, received prayer. I am grateful for grace to live right. I'm able to pray for grace to live right. I'm thankful I can pray for parents who are aging. I'm thankful I can pray for parents who are aging. I'm 19 hours away. That's a long haul. 11 hours away. 18 hours away. 18, 19 hours away. That's a long ways from aging parents. But I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump to the throne room of heaven. I'm grateful I can pray for a brother with cancer who's holding his own. Not a day goes by that I don't think about him. Not a day goes by. But I don't think about that little boy out there in Ohio. I can't run out there. I can't spend all my time out there. I tell you what I can do. Father, bless Tom. Aren't you glad you can stop and say that? And not just speak words out in the air that tumble to the ground. Words that are received up into heaven. Received in the very throne of God. I'm thankful I can pray morning, evening, or any time in between. I'm thankful I can bow my head in a formal scheduled prayer time on my knees, but I'm also thankful I can call out to God in a spontaneous moment of need. Oh God! And it's not just words that filter out into the air. That's what the devil would love to have us believe, friend. The devil would love to have us believe that, oh, you're always wasting your time. Those words are just floating out in the sky, into the air, disappearing somewhere. No! Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. You receive my prayer. I'm thankful for received prayer this morning. I am thankful for revealed truth. I am thankful for received prayer. Now watch it. Watch that. Look at that. Revealed truth and received prayer. That's God talking to me and me talking to God. You know what that's called, friend? Relationship. That's relationship. You know, last night I sat on the deck. Wasn't that a blessing last night? About 6:15, the humidity just left. Man, it was like we live in a different country. And my wife, I was getting ready to grill the food, and I noticed the humidity change. And she came out and she said, man. And so we sat out on the deck. We hadn't been sitting out on the deck. Why would you sit out in the sweat? Sat outside on the deck and we talked. She talked to me. I talked to her. We went to bed last night for a few minutes laying in the bed. She talked to me and I talked to her. You know why? It's relationship. A relationship with her that I don't have with anybody else. Revealed truth. God speaks to me. Received prayer. I talk to God. Boil all of this down. You know what it means? I have a relationship with the God of the universe. Unbelievable. You know Barack Obama? No, I don't know Barack Obama. I know about him. Do you know Michael Jordan? No. Do you know so-and-so? No, I don't know these renowned men and men of popularity and fame. But I tell you who I do know. I know the Creator God of all the universe. And this week He talked to me and I talked to Him. How about that? And I'm thankful. Pretty hard to be discouraged. I'm a child of God. Washed in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And through that, entered into a relationship with God. Aren't you grateful that you know God? And aren't you grateful that God took enough interest in us to desire a relationship with us? And John put it this way, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Have you taken advantage of that relationship this week? Have you been in a place where God spoke to your heart? And where you spoke back to God? Have you? Friend, you talk about something to be thankful for. Oh, I'm thankful for our country. And I'm thankful for my family. And I'm thankful for my church, my good brothers and sisters here. Man, I don't want to forget the reason for it all. I'm thankful I know God. I don't know Him like I could know Him. That's not His fault. That's mine. But He did talk to me this week. Oh, He didn't talk to me like I'm talking to you, Terry. Build an ark. Put air conditioning in it. He didn't talk to me that way. He didn't talk to you that way either. But that's still a small voice in my heart. And I talk to Him. And I want to be careful that I don't forget to be thankful for the bottom line. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Isn't that fun? Isn't that encouraging? That's uplifting. He speaks to me and I speak to Him. I'm a child of God. I hope you are. You say, well, I'm an American. That's wonderful, but that doesn't make you a child of God. Well, I've been baptized. That's great. But it doesn't make you a child of God. It's Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, His shed blood on the cross of Calvary that washes our sins away and gives us a relationship with God. After that relationship is established, we have revealed truth and received prayer. What joy. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, I love You, and I've tried to point the people to You this morning. And how wonderful You are to speak to us in truth. How wonderful You are to let us speak to You. I pray, oh God, You create a hunger in folks' hearts this morning to better their relationship with You through received truth and through revealed truth and received prayer. God, please, help us, I pray.